Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We love you so much. Lord, thank you for everything. Lord, you're the one who won the victory. You have overcome the world. You have been given the name above every name. Every knee will bow to you of those things in heaven, those things on the earth, and those things under the earth. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, you have authorized us to go in your name to proclaim the kingdom, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. Yes, Lord, today is the day of salvation. And we pray, Lord God, for your word to penetrate deep into our hearts. Give us understanding. Lord, change our minds, our hearts, our ways. Bring us into harmony, into unity with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, the title of the message this morning is Possessing the Land. Possessing the Land. God delivered Israel out of Egypt. He brought them out of slavery, a great deliverance by the blood of the Lamb. And then he brought them out into the wilderness, not to stay there, but to learn how to hear, to listen to his voice, to navigate by his spirit. And they were to walk by faith, faith that God was going to take care of them, as he had promised and as he had demonstrated prior to their finding themselves in this new situation they'd never been in before. But you know, it's in the wilderness where many people fail and they fall. We all have to take note of what happened in the past so that we can be wise today. How many know that these things were written down for our admonition? That we can be wise, amen, and know and understand God's ways. See, God is truth, and so God wants to be believed because every word that God speaks is truth. Can you say amen? And God wants us to take him at his word, not to question, but to believe. If you believe, you will see. People say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. But actually, it's the other way around. In the Lord, it's by faith we're able to see. I want to read from Numbers chapter 13 this morning, verse 27, as our foundation. This is when the spies had returned after exploring the land. And they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the river. So they took a thorough examination of the land. And in verse 30, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. I love that. How many love Caleb? But the men who had gone up with him said, which would be the majority, by the way, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. Oh, there we go. We saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, so we were in their sight. What did he say? He says, what? We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Interesting. How many know that it's very important what you believe and what you understand? And and that we are aligning ourselves with what is true. And anything that doesn't agree with what God says or God promises is an illegal thought. Say amen, somebody. Whenever you and I commit ourselves, set ourselves to do the will of God, I've made up my mind, I'm going to start living for Jesus now. We should expect opposition because we are in a battle. The good news is that the battle is the Lord's. He's overcome. He's gone before us. And he authorizes us in his name to also enforce the victory, what he's already accomplished on our behalf. It's not like we have to, okay, slay the giants. We have to basically enforce what God has already done. In other words, it's an understanding of our authority in Christ. If we believe that we have been given God's authority to conquer these things that would stand in our way, understanding that they're already in God's sight a defeated foe. Has not God already spoiled principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness? Has he not triumphed over them in the cross? So we have to change our thinking about our adversary. Because the adversary exaggerates everything to try to get us to believe that he is actually bigger than God and that somehow God's weak and God can't do it. Well, God has already done it. The problem is often we are the weak ones and we're the ones that don't have the faith in what God has already promised us. How many know that God has promised every one of us in this room, his people, victory? He has promised us freedom. A life full of joy, an abundant, overflowing life in the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we need to learn from the lessons of history so that we don't repeat them. Sometimes we evaluate things based upon our own understanding. You know, I hear what God says, but what I see and what I sense happening seems to contradict what God said. And we've all dealt with that. We've all made decisions based upon feelings or emotions, right? Only to find out that that was a bad move. I shouldn't have done that. Because we do see things through the lens of our own understanding. But in Christ, we've been given the mind of Christ. Amen. We've been given understanding. If we will ask him for his help, for his advice, for his counsel, God will give us his counsel. He will give us divine strategy. We've been studying the book of Joshua in Sunday school. I would encourage you to come. It's really interesting how God gave strategies, amen, to Joshua and to the people so that they could defeat their enemies. Today, God does the same thing. He gives us divine strategies and how to overcome those enemies that oppose us. And again, we need to understand that the devil knows that he doesn't have power over the believer. He certainly doesn't have authority over the believer, amen, unless we were to allow him to have it through unbelief. So he plays with your head, with your mind, with your thoughts, and he tries to make things look worse than they actually are. All you got to do is look at the mainstream media and figure that one out. Man, if you just go by what the mainstream media is saying, everything is bad. There's no hope. How do you know our hope is in Jesus Christ? Amen. So today, masses of people are being influenced and controlled through the use of fear. They're being told that what's happening in America today cannot be changed. You're just going to have to accept the way things are because it's too big, it's too impossible to be reversed or to be overturned. So the devil's using exaggerated and sometimes false information in an attempt to discourage us from taking a stand against the evil. If he can defeat us in his mind, he's already won. If he can convince you in your mind that you're a nobody or a loser, you can't or you won't, then he's already won. Isn't that the battle that we've all struggled with in life? Words that have been spoken, word curses that have been spoken over us. Identities assigned to us that are not true to who we really are. And if we believe the lie, then we'll start to live out the lie as a slave to the misinformation. And so he tells people there's nothing they can do about their situation. So just accept it. Just give up. It's too far gone. It's too impossible. It's too big. And so the giants that we face in America, you know, need to be dealt with. And they will be dealt with as God's people come together and believe and agree with God for his kingdom to come and will to be accomplished on the earth. You see, sometimes we're hoping that somebody else will pray. Somebody else will stand in the gap. Somebody else will speak up. How many know that each one of us have been assigned a responsibility as part of God's mission to be salt, to be light, to be influencers in your homes, in your families, in your schools, wherever you find yourself? And God expects us to function in the authority that he has given us to bring change in our world. How many know that God can change the situation that's going on in America? But if we're not careful, we'll start to believe that these giants are just too impossible. And what happens is the enemy discourages us and we lose hope. And once you lose hope, it's all lost. Do you understand? We need to have our hope in God. Even though we may suffer for a season, amen, we know God's heart is redemptive in nature. Even though we may be opposed for a season, we know that God's plan, amen, is to rule and to reign in us, in the earth, amen. And he wants to work through you and through me. But we're not going to be a vessel that he can use if we are living in fear. But how many know God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and sound mind? So we need to remember God is on the throne. Amen. The battle belongs to the Lord. And these giants that we're looking at right now, they're kind of like Goliath. They're gloating. They're mocking. They're challenging. I dare ya. Right? And if we're not careful, we can actually give in to that spirit of fear and yield and give in and allow the enemy to continue his destruction. But you and I, in Jesus' name, have an assignment to be agents of change, to be vessels of change. God wants to bring change, and he wants to do it through you. He wants to work through his body, through his people. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes we have disappointments because we have expectations that are not in agreement with God's will. And when God doesn't do things the way that we expect him to do it, then we start to lose faith in God. Well, your faith was in you and your understanding, not in God's will. So we have to get into alignment with God's will, understand his heart, his will. How many believe that God wants to save America? How many don't believe that God wants souls to be saved, people to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus? Yeah. And how many know that God wants to use you to do that? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So after the spies finished spying out the land, the majority of them came back with a mixed report. In other words, they said, yeah, indeed, it's a good land. It's flowing with milk and honey. But, oh, there are giants in the land. So it's kind of like we see it, but can't touch it because of these giants. Listen, the devil is trying to divide our minds, to get us to flip-flop, to believe for a little while and quit, to believe in God for a while and then all of a sudden believe in the situation that somehow it just can't be changed. It's just, how many here are praying for loved ones, praying for children, wayward children? Yes. So the enemy is trying to discourage you from praying according to the will of God that your children would be saved by telling you that they're too far gone. It's just too impossible. I was one of those kids where they probably were going to take me away in a pine box, you know. And that's their expectation, you know. But God was in his mercy. Amen. I had a praying mom. Thank God for praying moms. Amen. How about some praying dads out there? We need some men to step up. Amen. And come together and pray and believe. Husbands and wives. Prayer of agreement. Amen. It's power. But understand that you're setting in motion and the plan of God as you partner with him in prayer and pray according to his will. And in the appointed season that God determines, he will answer those prayers. The problem is that we have an expectation, and it's usually a short-term expectation that it has to happen within hours or minutes. You know what I'm talking about. I went through the drive-through prayer, you know, put in my order, and where's my order at? Right? It didn't happen instantly. So, well, it must not be God's will then. Ever been there? Yeah, well, I asked, nothing happened. How many know that some things you need to wait on God about? Amen? You got to seek and you need to find. All right. So it's not always an instant gratification thing. I know we live in that kind of world today. But we need to be careful that we don't get into this place where we're divided in our minds. Because remember James said that in James 1:8, that the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And I've been unstable before in my walk. Have you? I've flip-flopped on things. I've really determined to believe God, and but God didn't answer it when or how I expected him to. And so then I just got discouraged. And then the devil comes along and says, it's because God doesn't hear your prayers. You might as well quit praying. God doesn't. God's not listening to your prayers. You know, the devil's afraid of praying people. And he knows that your prayers are being effective, so he's going to try to discourage you any way he can to stop you from interceding, from standing in the gap. Because in due season, Galatians 6:9, in due season we shall reap if we do not lose hope, right? Lose heart. So this is a struggle many of us face. I hear people say sometimes this, I believe God can, but I'm not so sure he will. Hear it. Sometimes we pray for people. Well, I believe God can. Now, didn't we just pray the prayer of faith? I believe God can. But in a sense, what they're saying is, but I don't believe God will. When you come for prayer, you always come with, I believe God will. That's faith. Not just believing, yeah, God can. Well, we see the miracles in the Bible. How about having a miracle today? How about believing God for miracles today? And that means when you come for prayer, you come with an expectation that just because I got prayed for 100 times before, amen, nothing happened, doesn't mean that God's not going to heal you on the 101st time. Is there 101st? 101st. It's a new word. The English language is a living language. It's always evolving, you know. It is. I've told you before, I just make it up as I go along, so. But they had a mixed report. And you know, the same thing we can struggle with, because we're faced with things that in the natural appear to be so big and so impossible and so irreversible. When you come for healing, how about for your marriage? You know, if you're struggling in your marriage, you know, believe God, stand in there and know that God can, you know, he can heal, he can change, but he has to have willing vessels though. He has to have people that are willing to cooperate with him and deny themselves so that they may come back into harmony with their partner. Are you hearing me, somebody? I think one of our biggest problems is, and I'm going to say it because I deal with it too, is selfishness. That part of us that just wants to be spared any kind of inconvenience. When you're a giver and a lover, you're not concerned about you as much as you are about those you minister to. Amen? And that you give to. And I see that as the heart of God, the agape love of God, as a giver and a lover. Amen? And Jesus didn't come to be served, but what? To serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. And we're called to take up our cross and follow him in his footsteps. We need to take a stand against the giant of unbelief in this hour. I think, guys, this is one of the things that I'm dealing with. Is sometimes, you know, I prayed for things, I believed for things, and if I'm not careful, I can get discouraged as I'm waiting on God for answers. But faith says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And faith is believing that God will, instead of, I know he can, but do you believe that God will? So that's where we need to change to God will. And we don't always know God's heart. We don't always know God's will. But when you come to prayer, or to be prayed for, or to pray for somebody else, come as a child with a simple expectation that God is who he says he is, that he can do what he says he can do, that he will do what he promised to do, and believe that God's going to do it. Not that he can do it, but that he's going to do it. He will do it, yes. Ephesians 6:12, remember, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You know, in our nation, we see a lot of evildoers and people in high places doing some crazy stuff. We're to pray for them. We're to pray for God's divine intervention, amen, in our government. And you and I have been given the authority to do that in Jesus' name, amen. But we're not wrestling against people, amen. We're wrestling against these principalities and powers that work through people. And God will deal with evildoers if they do not repent. But we're wrestling against these principalities, these powers, these rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly place. We're in a war. And therefore, what must we do in verse 13? We must take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, having done all to stand. In other words, when we put our foot down, and we have to be determined in this battle, that whatever giant is standing between me and God's destiny for me, me and God's freedom that he has purchased for me, must come down. Must come down. No option. God does not want a single one of his people bound by drugs or pornography or anything else. Any kind of besetting sin. Amen. God wants freedom for his people. So we must be determined to stand on the word of God, the word of faith that says God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that I will take a stand against any giant that stands between me, amen, and my peace. Too many people are walking around anxious and fretting and worried and fearful. And God doesn't want his people to live in that place. Why? Because he's purchased for us our full freedom from those things. Somebody say amen. Amen. In Jesus Christ, all things are possible. There's no giant that can stand in the way of Jesus. Amen. We are authorized to go in his name. And to take out the giants. They were to go in and what? Dispossess the land. Drive them out from before you, he said. Take territory. Get a hold of that thought life. Deal with that thought life. Amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit and the word of God, we can do all things through him, the Christ. Amen. Who strengthens us. Hallelujah. So what was Caleb's attitude? We can go in and do it. Why? Because God promised. But the other spies were operating in fear. They were living by sight, by how things appeared. I remember when I was young in ministry and I was in a youth group, in fact, one that I acquired from Chuck. Chuck and I go back a few years. This was a really unruly bunch. Some of you can say, I understand what that's like. But they were a really unruly bunch. And so I was full of zeal, not necessarily wisdom, but full of zeal. And I really wanted to see these kids on fire for Jesus. I wanted to see them really get saved, you know. Because a lot of them were church kids, and they just thought they were saved. They weren't born again. They thought, well, I made this prayer. I said this prayer years ago, and so I'm saved. There's been no change, no fruit of salvation. Are you hearing me, somebody? When a person is saved, they will bear the fruit of that. How many here are new creations today? How many here want to do the will of God? Amen? Because Christ is in you, producing that kind of fruit, right? So we decided, well, we're going to storm heaven. And week after week, and twice a week, I got with them. And just preached, prayed, sang. Sometimes when I first got started, I had my guitar out there. I was singing my heart out. There's probably one or two out of 25 or whatever. The rest of them are all like, being cool, you know. So I was just like, I just kept storming heaven. But God, in His mercy, one day, because we didn't give up, we stood in there, God broke through. He started to take them down like stacked wood. Boom, boom. And power of God moved. And those kids got so excited for Jesus because they had a personal encounter. And God was rocking them. And the fear of God came on them. And they were repenting and crying out to God. But there was times when I just wanted to throw in the towel and say, man, is it worth all my effort? I'm pouring myself out on this and it doesn't seem to be producing anything. But God just kept telling me, stand in there, don't give up. And the day came. And guys, it would be too easy sometimes, even for during this last crazy year we've had, you know. Well, we could just go do something else right now. But God has called us to a mission. He still has a plan for us, all of us, to be a partnership with Him and to be a team player, amen, to work together to advance His kingdom. God wants salvation to come to America. God wants healing and deliverance to come. We've got to get over ourselves first, and we've got to get over the giants, amen, of doubt and unbelief that says it's too bad. Nobody's interested in your gospel. The devil is a liar. Keep on sowing in the Holy Spirit. Keep on praying and believing and speaking the truth. And in God's appointed season, He's going to break through the stony hearts. Amen. He's going to break the fallow ground. And I'm believing for America. How about you? I'm not going to believe the lie that it's all going to hell in a handbasket. Just quit. Let us eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow to die. So many people have already gotten into complacency and apathy, and they're no longer serving the Lord. They're just doing their own thing now because they just decided that it's not worth the effort because nothing's going to change. How many know that's a lie right out of the pit of hell? God wants to bring change, and He wants to bring change through us. Because greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, we know that the land that God promised Israel, amen, was a geographic location, right? The land of Canaan. Yet the rest that we can know and experience, the abundant life is in the Holy Spirit. Today we can have, amen, the rest of God in our soul. We can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have rest from the enemies that would torment us. The tormenting spirits. A lot of believers are allowing spirits to torment them because they don't know maybe about their own authority, or they're not willing to humble themselves and ask for some help. But God wants people to be set free. He wants to destroy every work of the devil in your life. Can you say amen? Well, God can help me with this, but God can't. Look, stop that. God can do it. If it's something that's standing between you and your peace with God, amen, your rest with God, it's illegal. It has no business being there. If you've repented, it has no legal authority to remain there. Take authority in Jesus' name. Amen. Repent of your sins. Turn to God. Amen. And then take authority over your enemy. Resist him and he will flee from you. And don't take no for an answer. Stand in there. Resist him, because the enemy knows that if you continue to resist him, he's got a losing battle here. He's not going to waste his time on you anymore. See, if he's got somebody that he can just beat around, torment, depress, right? He's going to keep heaping it on. He's got somebody, he's got them in this worry thing, this fear thing. He's going to keep heaping it on. And we got to wake up and say, wait a minute, this is not my allotment. This is not what God has promised me. God said, I have freedom in Jesus' name. Whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. So tackle. Come against those things that would come between you and your rest in God. Because there is a rest promised to the people of God. There is a place in the Spirit that is flowing with milk and honey. There is a place, hallelujah, in him where we have peace, where we're not living in worry, we're not living in fear, and we're certainly not living in shame. Hallelujah. See, the devil wants to get people under a spirit of shame, constantly reminding us of what we did and how bad we are and how bad we were. And what do? We call on the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for the cross. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for the victory is yours. And you and I together, hallelujah, are going to walk in this freedom. I'm yoked up with him. Hallelujah. God is with us. And God is for us. And you can do all things that according to the will of God, through the power that's in Jesus' name. Amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Now listen. Verse 18, for he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. You see, it's not about natural things. Amen. This is a spiritual kingdom that we're inheriting, right? But however, God wants us to also be effective, okay, witnesses for him in the natural realm. Amen. For a natural man, those who are still in Adam, God wants them to come into Christ. He wants them to come out of death and into life. Amen. And so he's looking for someone who will say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I'll be a vessel for you. I'll step out for you. I'll believe your word. I believe you said in your name we will cast out demons. I'll believe you and I'll step out and I'll start taking authority. I'm going to quit listening to that other voice that says you can't. And I'm going to start saying, but God will. If I obey him, he will come through. It's a psychological warfare that we're in. It really is. Messing with your mind. Try to get you to believe a lie. Something that's not true about you. So we got to defeat these giants. Amen. The giants of fear, of doubt, unbelief. Because what happened to Israel is they began ultimately to rebel against God. Because fear ultimately leads to rebellion against God. Do you understand that fear is not to dominate or to control God's child? As a child of God, amen, I am to take authority over that. I am to be of good courage. All right? Courage is not necessarily a lack of fear, but it's what? Mastery over fear. Not allowing fear to control me. There are going to be moments of fear, amen, but we take courage and we overcome that and we step out in Jesus' name with an expectation that God has got my back. Because if I do what he's telling me to do, he's going to be there. He's going to meet me there. He told us to preach the gospel. When I go to preach the gospel, there's an expectation that God's going to manifest through that word that I speak in obedience to him. Why? The Holy Spirit always moves in obedience to the Father's will. So in order to experience God's rest, his peace in our lives, it's not an option. We must. God commanded them to take the giants out. Remove them. I've already given you the land. Just wherever the soles of your feet go, I've given it to you. Walk it out. Possess it. Amen. I'll give you strategy. I'll show you what to do, how to do it. God has great works for us to do. But fear can cause us to shrink back from our mission. The Lord was upset at Israel's unbelief in Numbers 14:11. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people reject me or despise me? How long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them?" You know, even though we have been delivered by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus, we've been taken out, amen, from under Pharaoh's rule, it is still possible for a Christian to live in defeat. How is that? Through unbelief, doubting God's promise. We in the New Testament are children of promise. We live by the promises of God. What God has promised us is freedom, healing, deliverance. Amen. In the New Testament, God has promised us freedom from our adversary, from the power of sin, from the power of Satan, and from the power of the grave. Hallelujah. What are the promises of God today? That I can have righteousness, his peace, and his joy in the Holy Spirit. So the enemy is going to try to steal. Take that away. He's trying to get you to focus on the wrong thing. Wrong focus, you know. Because what you behold is eventually what you begin to copy. That's why we've got to be careful, little eyes, what we see, right? What we're looking at. Is it possible today that we could miss God's promised rest? 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, these things happen to Israel as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. What does that mean? It means don't be confident in you. The temptations in your life are no different from what others are experiencing. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptations to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Hebrews 4 and 1, God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. Verse 2, for this good news that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them of Israel of old. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. Because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. So we're confronted every day with different scenarios where we're going to have to either trust in what we're seeing in the natural, or we're going to trust in the Word of God. What did God say? What would Jesus do? Remember the bands? In this situation, what did God say about it? Oh, so many addicts, they may have come to Christ, they may have received forgiveness, but then they can quickly go back again if they don't stand in faith in what God has already given them as a free gift of freedom through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Amen. God's promises are yea and amen. You don't have to live as an addict anymore. The price for that has been paid in full at the cross. Jesus has broke the power of that. You don't have to be an addict anymore to anything. You're not to be under the power of anything except the power of God. I heard Robin say one day to somebody, is God weak? And of course, the answer is obvious, right? No. Because sometimes we say, well, I can't. But he said, well, is God weak? No. Then what's the problem? My unbelief. If I don't believe that I can be free, then I'll walk bound. That's how it is, guys. The enemy's messing with your head. If you don't believe that you can have peace of heart and peace of mind and live a worry-free life, then you will continue to live a worried life. If you believe that Jesus has already taken care of that and that his peace is a supernatural peace, not the world's kind of peace, amen? But he said, my peace I give unto you. And he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be afraid. God doesn't want us worried. He doesn't want us fearful. Our full confidence has to be in our God, not in our situation, not in our circumstance, and not in the way things appear. Oh, but the giants are so big. You see, we need to understand, guys, that it's not the majority that actually are able to walk by faith or that walk in victory. But it was a minority that believed God. It's Joshua and Caleb. 2 out of the 12, right? They decided that we're going to believe God. We're going to believe God to the end. We've begun with him. We're going to continue with him and we're going to finish with him. Amen. We're not going to give in to the fear, to the lies, to the propaganda of the devil. Trying to tell us that you can't, you won't, you'll never. Sometimes the devil gets in our head and says, oh, your children. They'll never, but God. Who are we going to believe? Yeah. Has anybody ever been discouraged to the point where you quit praying for somebody? Well, just keeping it real. Yeah, we've gotten to the place where we've quit praying because we just said, well, I guess they're never going to turn around. How do you know? And how do you know that if you are praying in agreement with the will of God, the Holy Spirit continues to move every time you're praying in the will of God. I know I had somebody praying for me because I was miserable. And it was a good kind of misery because it brought me to repentance. It brought me to the end of myself. And thank God that they didn't give up on me. The people in the world did. Many people wrote me off, but God didn't. How many of you know God didn't write you off either? He didn't give up on you. He doesn't give up on you. He loves you. He's always going to be knocking on your door. He's just waiting for you to say, okay, Lord, I'm ready. I'm opening the door. Now's the time. Hallelujah. I'm ready for Jesus. Amen. I'm ready to do it your way. Hallelujah. Hebrews 3 and verse 14 says, for if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Mm-hmm. So what was it that kept Israel from entering into the land? It was their unbelief. It wasn't their inability. It was their unbelief that they could do what God said they could do. God told them to go and take the land. He authorized them to go in his name. Same thing was true with us today. Amen. It says in Hebrews 3:19, they were not able to enter his rest because of unbelief. And you know, their unbelief was evidenced by their disobedience. People will say, oh, I believe God. Well, let me study your life for a little while here. Are you hearing me? I understand, guys, just like you, my life is under the microscope, probably more so in some ways. People are watching. You claim to be a follower of Jesus. What does that look like? I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to live for God. I want to be an example. How about you? Each one of us is called to be an example for others. In your school, wherever you find yourself, you're supposed to be an example for Jesus. And don't continue to harden your heart against that either, because your heart can become calloused. I heard a statement somebody had what was the phrase? America's become gospel hardened. Gospel hardened. Heard it so many times, but it was mixed with faith. We didn't tremble at the word. We didn't repent when we had opportunity. And so a person becomes calloused and indifferent towards the things of God. One time you might have trembled at the word of God, but now it's just, oh yeah, I've heard that. Oh yeah, I know that. A lot of people know a lot of Bible. But do you know the God of the Bible? Are you walking in the fear of the Lord? Has God got a hold of you? Amen. We say, well, I received Jesus 10 years ago. Well, did Jesus receive you? You're not saved until Jesus receives you. And he's not going to receive you until you repent. Somebody say amen, right? When God calls a people to repentance, he means it. In Numbers 14, verse 24, he says, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. How? Those are God's thoughts. I want to be like Caleb when I grow up. Those who have a spirit of Caleb will follow the Lord wholeheartedly because they trust him. They trust his promises. 2 Timothy 1:7, here it is again. God has not given us a spirit of fear, guys, but of power and of love. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Yes, God's given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. Amen. And so we believe God's word. Anything that doesn't agree with it is illegal. We cast it out. So there are clear warnings in the New Testament to Christians about unbelief. Hebrews 3:12, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. God help us. There was a song years ago when I was a new Christian. It was called, Lord, Soften My Heart with Oil. Do you know, a wineskin can become brittle, right? You know, when a wineskin expands, it's an animal hide, you know, and when it gets to a certain place, it reaches its capacity and then it becomes brittle. And if you were to pour new wine into that old wineskin, it will burst it because it's at its full capacity. But there was a little secret to reconstituting it, and they would take oil and they would rub the wineskin down with the oil. Hallelujah. And it would receive its elasticity again. How many know that we need the oil of the Lord? We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be baptized, immersed, and walk and continue in the power of the Holy Spirit so that we have supernatural confidence in God. Amen. In his word. And we can overcome the giants by faith. Amen. In what God promised. But we can't do it in our own willpower. You can't do it in your own strength. You need God. Hallelujah. Amen. We need God. We're delivered in Christ from slavery. But why are there still those who continue to live in bondage to sin? Ever ask that question? How many know somebody that claims to be a Christian, but you look at their life and it's very sinful? Now, God knows the hearts. God judges the hearts. Amen. We don't always know what's really going on with a person. And we have to be careful, amen, with the judgment that we mete out. Amen, because God's going to hold that same accountability. But we need to know that one thing, if we see a brother and sister struggling, what's the loving thing to do? Is to reach out to them, and if God would counsel you to do so, certainly you want to pray for one another, amen? And you want to help brothers and sisters up, amen? If they're struggling, amen, reach out to them. But why is it that some people, they continue to live in sin even though they claim to have received Christ and have the Spirit of God in them? I believe it's the same thing we've been talking about from the beginning of this message, and that is the giant of unbelief. Because if a person does not believe, okay, that they can be free, then they won't be free. They won't walk free. Isn't that true? If a person doesn't believe God's word, then they won't have confidence that God's word would work for them. Because what you believe will determine what you receive. And what you receive will determine how you live your life. Guys, we need to repent, amen, of unbelief. If it applies to us, I need to say, Lord, help my unbelief. I struggle with unbelief. There's times when I'm faced with something and I'm being challenged in my faith as to whether I'm going to believe in that situation or I'm going to believe God, amen, is bigger than that situation. So I pray and I said, Lord, help my unbelief. Just like the blind man. Why is it? Because people don't believe that they have freedom in Christ. Because of unbelief, fear prevents them from overcoming the spiritual giants they face. What are some of the giants that you face? What are some of the giants in your life? Does God want them to stand in your way? Does God want you to be fearful, unbelieving, doubtful? Does God want his people to live in shame? No. Does God want his people bound by drugs or alcohol or greed? No. Sexual perversion, pornography? No, of course not. These are just a few. Jesus has overcome the world. He's overcome all these giants. And he says, now you go in my name and enforce in your life, in your family, in your community, in your workplace, you enforce what I've already done for you and on your behalf. It's a promise. The victory, amen, is yours because I've won it. He is our triumphant leader. Amen. And we enter into the spoils of what Jesus has already accomplished for us. And we can walk in freedom. We can walk, amen, in peace. We can walk in confident assurance of God's provision, God's protection. Amen. That God's faithful to me and he's not going to forsake me. Hallelujah. God promised he wouldn't leave you. So why would we ever doubt that God would tell us a lie? Because the enemy is a liar. And we can't allow him to divide our minds anymore. We need to find out what God says. Find out what pleases the Lord. Amen. And do those things. Align yourself with God and his will for your life. And you'll have life and peace in the Holy Spirit. Trust him. Hallelujah. We can't afford to remain in unbelief. God has a mission. If we're in unbelief, we won't accomplish God's will for our lives. If we're in fear, we won't accomplish God's will for our lives. If you find yourself worried and fearful, it means that you have a lack of God's peace. And in some cases, you need the devil cast out. Amen. That spirit of fear cast out of you. So don't be ashamed, amen, to submit to any kind of ministry you feel that you may need, amen, so that you can have victory. Sometimes, guys, we need to come together, amen, and help one another through. Pray for one another that you might be healed, amen. God considered Israel's failure to possess the land rebellion. Did you get that? He considered Israel's failure to possess the land rebellion. If we don't possess, amen, this vessel and keep that devil out, it's rebellion. Because God has given us the authorization to do so, to enforce what he's already accomplished for us. That you don't have to allow the enemy, amen, to control you. Your emotions are supposed to be under the power of the Holy Spirit. Your body is supposed to be under the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Not the other way around. Fear and unbelief ultimately led to rebellion against the Lord's commands. They were disobedient to the Lord because they were unbelieving. We can't say we believe God if we're disobedient. God is looking for those who have a different spirit like Caleb. Amen? It may not be the majority, but I want to be one of the minority, all right? And I can't do it in my own strength or wisdom or witticism or willpower. Amen? I need to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit like everybody else. That's why I encourage prayer life. Be a prayer warrior. Amen. We say, well, they're called to be a prayer warrior. They're called to be an intercessor. No, everybody in the New Testament is an intercessor. Everybody is called to pray. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because we are a spiritual priesthood, a royal priesthood. Amen. In the New Testament. Therefore, we must be also standing in the gap. And if we don't pray, we won't have power to overcome and to live free in the Lord. Amen. From the infestation and the torment of the devil. So God, we thank you today for your word, for your promise that you're with us and for us. And you've already overcome the world. So we should be of good cheer. Hallelujah. We can rejoice in you, Lord, and rejoice. Hallelujah. For you have overcome the horse and the rider. You have cast into the sea. Hallelujah. And we can now walk in this new life, this new beginning, this new way. Hallelujah. Free from the tormentor. Hallelujah. Lord, if there are areas in my life, if there are areas in our lives here today where we must repent, I ask you right now, God, by your Spirit, to reveal it to us. Lord, that we will renounce those sinful things, that we'll be determined not to give any place to the devil, not to look upon evil, not to give any place, Lord, to that adversary. But God, give us the grace, give us the help, give us the strength, Lord God, that we can repent right now and turn from our wicked ways. That you might receive us, Lord. And heal us and restore us and reestablish us. Give us a firm foundation. Father, we ask you that you'd baptize us with your Holy Spirit. Baptize us with your Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, we praise you. We believe you. You are the Son of God. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the only way to the Father. You are the only way to salvation. We believe in you, Lord, that you have overcome the world, and that in you we also are overcomers by faith and what you have promised. Whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, we receive our inheritance. We receive our promise from you. You've given it to us. You spoke to us, Lord. And whatever you say is true. Hallelujah. Lord, you said the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But that you came that we might have life and that we may have it more abundantly. Let's raise our hands right now. Let's do this and say, Lord Jesus, I surrender all of me to you. I cannot save myself. I cannot deliver myself except by your power. Lord, I ask you, forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Wash me now in your blood. I believe. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. I welcome you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Yes, Lord, baptize my heart with your Holy Spirit and fire. Set me ablaze for you. Give me your boldness. To be a witness for you, to fear no man, but only fear the Lord. Father, I pray, your kingdom come and your will be done in my life, on the earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Jesus' name.